forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Kingdoms totter.
He utters his voice, the earth melts.
Take away the sin of the world. We see.
us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you preserve the teaching of the Apostolic Church through the confession of the true faith at Augsburg. Continue to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth, and finally attain to the light of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the presentation of the Augsburg Confession is from the book of Nehemiah, the 18th chapter. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchijin, and Hashem, and Hashbadah, and Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebethai, Hodiah, Masaiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Haliah, and the Levites, they helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense, so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet. For this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will also speak of your testimonies before kings.
And shall not be put to shame.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before God, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increase.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
The haughty knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings,
and shall not be put to shame.
The readings from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy in the 6th chapter. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. Jesus said, "Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.
Worship and glorified, whose name by the prophets,
Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for this joyful occasion in our church's history is Matthew chapter 10, the gospel lesson, particularly verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. You may be seated. I forgot that you stood through the sermon hymn, so sorry if I confused anyone. It's good. Beloved in Christ, it took place in the light for all to hear, as if it were being proclaimed on the housetops. Except this time it wasn't in Jerusalem at Pentecost during a worship service. This time it was in a city court in Augsburg, Germany, for an imperial diet. It was, after all, a political affair. The Lutheran princes had gathered in obedience to the Holy Roman Emperor to discuss what he called the religious matters of the empire. Emperor Charles V, you may remember him in history as the son of Ferdinand and Isabella, who in 1492 sent Columbus to sail the ocean blue. Thanks. Sail the ocean blue. He was a committed Roman Catholic from Spain. Charles had just come back from Austria, victorious over the Muslim invasion of all of Europe, and in some ways, he was the protector of all of Christendom in Europe. But when he came back, and he called all of these Lutheran princes together from Germany, the Lutheran princes came prepared. This wasn't just a small, trivial, religious matter. This was life or death. They arrived in Augsburg a few weeks early, not to discuss or to debate, but to confess. They prepared a confession, 28 articles, 21 on the holy Catholic faith that every Christian must confess, and then a couple others about things that we're in disagreement on, about practices in the churches. They'd prepared that confession through the gifted colleague of Martin Luther. His name was Philip Melanchthon, and he also taught at the University of Wittenberg. And so on the 25th of June, 1530, the Lutheran princes of the Holy Roman Empire in the German lands read their confession before Emperor Charles V. The proclamation of what so many had heard in the dark came blazing out in the light on that day. As Scripture says, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Beloved, the Reformation of Christ's church began some 500 years ago, as it always begins, in the dark. What I tell you in the dark means what any one of us comes to know in the heart by faith. No one can believe for another. God is not addressing all those people who are out there that need Jesus. He's addressing you. But you can't believe, nobody can believe, unless there is a miracle of the Holy Ghost, who presses the words of Christ through very sin-deaf ears all the way down into the heart, so that what is believed in the heart comes out through the mouth and is confessed. And so we pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Before there can be a reformation of the church, there has to be a reformation of human hearts and souls. It's why we confess, I cannot believe. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. First, our heart, then their heart. On one level, the presentation of the Augsburg Confession is a model for all Christians, to teach us to be ready at any time, as St. Peter teaches, to give an apology or a defense for the reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, but to do it with all gentleness and respect. People are literally dying to hear what we have heard within these walls. It's always been that way, and that ought to be a great comfort to us. The voice of Jesus has never stopped whispering into people's ears and capturing their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Conversions have been happening ever since Eden. There have always been Christians who've heard the voice of Jesus, believed it, and proclaimed it to an unbelieving world. It's just that sometimes it's been very hard to hear that voice, as it was perhaps in the early church, as it was in the 16th century, and increasingly so in our day and in our age. Nevertheless, be of good cheer. We ride in the wake of prophets and apostles and Jesus himself. And so does anyone who speaks and bears witness to what they've heard from Jesus and what they've believed in the chamber of their hearts. He taught them first to follow him in everything, even through the dark. To pass through this shouting world by listening only to his voice. And then he sent them out, and he told them, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And perhaps less comforting, you'll be hated for my name's sake. But beloved, that's only natural. It's not like something strange is happening to you when the world hates you. Whoever confesses Jesus must also deny themselves. Whoever confesses the truth must condemn the lies. Whoever is a friend of Jesus will also be an enemy of this world. It's only natural. When the Holy Spirit called us, when he took us in through the water by grace and brought us to the altar to make the good confession of Christ before God the Father and before the world, we swore that we'd never leave him nor forsake him. We swore that we were ready to suffer all things, even death, rather than leave Christ or his church. And I dare say, we have not yet resisted the world to the point of shedding blood. Not in America, anyway. And most of us have not yet spoken in the light as clearly as Jesus did before Pilate, or the martyrs have done throughout the entire church's history, or as the fathers did at Augsburg. Not many of us, anyway, have spoken so clearly that it should come to hate, that it should come to martyrdom. Not many of us confessed Christ that clearly. And if you think about it, how can anyone really hate us? How can anyone despise us or push us aside on account of Christ's name if they don't even know that that is the name that we bear? Have we just been in the dark? I know it sounds strange, but you know that you belong to Jesus. You know that you belong to Jesus if the world hates you, because you've been speaking in the light. Blessed is the one who loses out on a promotion, not because he didn't do the work or he was lazy, but because he is a Christian. Blessed is the one who loses friends and even family because they hate him or her on account of Christ. Blessed is the child who is mocked at school because they trust in Jesus alone as their Savior. Count it all joy, says the Scriptures. Count it all joy that you have no lasting city here. The city of Augsburg, however, was a model for all of us. And the Lutherans who came and came there to confess took their orders from Jesus himself, who says, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven." The princes, when they came, they were ready to give their lives, to confess that Jesus Christ alone has died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us all to God. They were ready to die. They believed that the only one to be feared is the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And they knew, as every Christian knows, should know, that anyone who confesses Jesus before men lives forever. Consider that. But whoever denies being before men, says Jesus, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So knowing that, what's stopping us from proclaiming Christ to the world? What prevents us from confessing the truth in the light to this dying world? Why would we hesitate to let God be true and all men liars? Why would we not receive the implanted word which is able to save our souls and hold fast to the word of truth that endures forever? What prevents us from hearing the voice of Jesus and confessing it to others? Well, surely it's sin, is it not? It's our own sin, and it's sin with all of its effects that make us ignore the truth and believe lies. It's sin that makes us cuddle up to the world and try to get along, belong to it, rather than finding shelter in the wings of the Almighty. It's sin that makes us want to go along and get along, that makes us shy of speaking the truth in public or with our friends. It'd be better to have their friendship than to make things awkward. And Satan, I mean, he uses it all. He uses all the fear. He uses all the sin that weighs on us. He wants to saturate our hearts with the cares of this world. He wants to devour us in the guilt of our sin, until our hearts are so divided and our lives are so divided and Christ's church is so divided that no one can tell a Christian from an unbeliever, and no one can tell the holy Christian church from a community center or a political rally. He sent his disciples out into the world and he said, "Don't be afraid." Their sinful hearts may have said, "How can he say, don't be afraid? Doesn't he know what they're going to do to us? Doesn't he know what it costs when you actually profess his name in the world?" But how different it was when they realized that it doesn't actually matter what the world does to them at all. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? That is to say, sparrows are hardly worth a thing. And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Beloved, you will lose nothing. You will gain everything in this life by confessing Christ. Jesus says, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven." And the word for confess is lovely. I don't know why we have acknowledge in there in our text, but it's okay. Confession is the language. Homologeo, that's what it is. Homologeo, it means say with one voice. Confess. Homologeo. It means to speak the language of God, to speak back to God what God Himself has spoken to us. It means whatever I tell you in the dark, say in the light. Our voice then is able to speak the very words of Jesus so that the things that we say in this life are indistinguishable from our Lord's. Our life, it becomes indistinguishable from His life. Despite our weaknesses, our voices become living testimony to the one who declares us righteous and sanctifies us by His word. That goes for you personally and for me. But it's also the way of the church of all times and all places, whether here in Westminster or way out there in Milwaukee or way, way out there in Jerusalem or Augsburg, the church confesses. We speak with one voice. She speaks with one voice, through one Spirit, with one holy baptism, with one holy faith. We are not a collection of individuals with various opinions and diversity of interests, not spiritually at least. We have all received grace upon grace. We have all heard the same call of the gospel and have been washed with the same holy water and word. So confess with one voice and one spirit, and let there be no divisions among you. Some of you are wealthy. Some of you are poor. Some of you are sick. Some of you are healthy. Some of you are free, and some of you are so burdened by the cares of this life and the love that God has called you to that it's hard to see the next day coming. But our Lord's call is the same for all of us. Follow me. And that means follow Him wherever He leads you and speak to the world whatever He tells you in His word. The circumstances were right at Augsburg to make a great public confession for all the world to hear. But I'm telling you, the circumstances are absolutely right for us now. To speak with one voice what God has spoken to us in gentleness and meekness, but with clarity. The time has come when they may arrest us for speaking the truth about life, about sexuality, about forgiveness free and overflowing for the worst of sinners. They may kill our bodies. So what? God can surely use even our death to teach others to hope in the resurrection of the dead. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? He confessed the truth unto death so that by His death He could bring so many to life. We don't know. We don't know as individuals or as a congregation or as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or the Lutheran Church throughout the world. We don't know what our confession means to others, but we're starting to see it throughout the world, and maybe in our own lives, that wherever Christ is confessed, there's life. I don't know if Luther and Melanchthon fully understood what they were doing there in Augsburg. They were obedient to the princes. They prepared the confession. The confession was read, and oh my goodness, how many faithful people throughout the world rallied. How many were called by the gospel through that very act and brought people to saving faith, the same saving faith in which we now stand. So learn from those who've gone before us. However many times we faltered, Christ's voice can still, by God's grace, be heard here and now, pure and undefiled, right from the Holy Scriptures, His own voice whispering to us, to reform our hearts, to create us brand new. Wherever His word lays hold of human hearts, we are united with God Himself in faith, so that we can learn from Him a new way of speaking, of living, loving. So we pray, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And then, what you've believed in the heart, confess with your mouth, in the light, from the rooftops, until the light that enlightens every heart is made manifest. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
God, let us pray for the Church of God and all people according to their needs. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Give faithfulness, wisdom, and energy to Matthew, re-elected to serve as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend Aaron, Kate, Linda, Tommy, Eleanor, Dorette, Rick, Anne, Jared, Georgia, Mark, Ed, Vivian, John, Kay, Thane, Sherry, Donna, Betty. Also, we ask that we'd watch over all those who travel, especially Caitlin in her journeys. We ask also for your healing, for Pepper, that she would be restored to health according to your good will. Hear us for all those who are in need, praying for them in all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to all lands, bless our homes, and be with all expectant mothers and their little ones, especially Rachel, Abby, Emma, and Rachel. Keep in safety all who travel, especially the Gregory family and Patrick and Laura Jackson, with their family as they move. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and finally deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servants, the elector, princes, and theologians who presented the Augsburg Confession, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's reading is the Te Deum Laudamus. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and the powers therein. To you, cherubim and seraphim, continually do cry. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of your majesty, of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly worship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of the martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout the world does acknowledge you. The Father of the infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father, to believe that you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray to you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them be numbered with the saints in the glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as your trust is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted. Let me never be confounded.
Thank you.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.